It's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. We are here, Styles and Watkins, taking you up to 2 p.m. And we got to talk about a Kings loss, even though we don't want to here on a Wednesday. And they are headed up to Denver tonight, or they're already in Denver for a Valentine's Day game. And maybe the hearts will be in their favor because they weren't last night. Mm. They lost to the Suns, 130 to 125. Chris, would you consider that a blown game situation? Nothing like the last time they were in Club Phoenix, but they did have control until, well, it was late in the third, right? Yeah. Early fourth.
Yeah, I mean, they stopped hitting shots in that third quarter. I think they ended up shooting like under 40% from the field in that third quarter, and then about halfway through the fourth, they kind of started to get going. They had that 10-0 run, and then, you know, I said it on the post game yesterday, but the problem becomes it's a lot, in my opinion, it's a lot like the situation the Niners just got in that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You don't want to put yourself in a situation where that game comes down to Patrick Mahomes has the ball in his hands with the clock winding down. The Kings really lost that game when it was a back-and-forth battle, and you're going against Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the two best shot makers, especially just tough shots in general. Like, you saw that shot, Book hit that last one where he takes the step over, just splashes it from mid-range. That's what those dudes do, and it's a really tough task to try and go bucket for bucket with KD and Devin Booker on the other side. And so, you know, it's unfortunate the Kings couldn't get a little bit of a cushion heading into that, but you know, that's a playoff team right there, 1,000%. And, you know, the Kings, I choose to say that I think overall that's a positive performance for this team. It was a really well-contested game, and the Kings were up to the task. Like, it's not like they got blown out. They were playing playoff basketball, too. They didn't get the result, but I think, you know, especially heading down towards the All-Star break, I think it's good that this team is playing good basketball, especially ever since we didn't get a chance to talk about that Detroit game. I'm glad we didn't, because right now is really a really crucial time for this team to be coming together, and it'd be nice to get the results, but I'll take the positive of these guys looked really competitive last night.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about, obviously, Denver tonight. I'm sure Denver's licking their chops after the Kings beat Denver not too long ago. We'll discuss LeBron. What could have been LeBron in the Bay? I mean, if Sacramento Kings fans can't stand the Warriors now, can you imagine?
LeBay?
Stop that. If LeBron went to the LeBay to team up with Steph, but luckily that didn't happen for all of our sakes. And we'll talk about a metric that I've never heard of in my life. There is a luck metric, and it was essentially formulated, created by a dude that was born and raised in Oakland, then went to Columbia. And a couple Niners media members have gotten a hold of these metrics, and we'll just read them off. We'll just read them off because the Chiefs are at a certain position when it comes to the quote-unquote luck data, and the Niners are. And we'll discuss that and ask whether it makes you feel better or not. Also, 12:30, we have the Kings roundtable with Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, as we also will have another opportunity for you to win Daniel Tosh tickets thanks to Live Nation. That is at 1 p.m. Maybe we'll have Brendan or Frankie pick the number caller. Frankie will probably pick two for Derek Jeter or something like that as we continue to break down what went wrong in Club Phoenix. And Chris, what you're saying isn't wrong as far as the Kings and how well they played. I think that's what is the most unfortunate part of this, that they aren't playing poorly, right?
Right.
It just might not be good enough this season.
Sure, right.
I think that's just where we're at right now.
Right, right.
They just don't have the horses to put teams away as they could have last night with the Suns or the last time they played the Suns. The last time felt more fluky, but they did not put it away. Mm-hmm. Or towards the end of the game, when you get into a shootout with the team and you got Devin Booker and Kevin Durant on one end and you have De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk on the other end too, and in that point of the game, Sabonis isn't doing the same things that he was doing. And that's just what it is. And yeah, I'm going to go there. And I know if you look at the full on, free throws, they shot 75%, which isn't bad. But one of our callers had called in and said, I think he was a high school coach or something. It's not about how many you make, it's about when you make them. Yep. And when they got that flagrant on De'Aaron and he clanks both free throws, I can't help. No one can help that.
No. No, that's,
nobody.
You have to hit those shots. I mean, that's an opportunity. It was two shots and the ball, and I believe they were down five at that point, mm-hmm. or they might have been down eight at that point. That was a real opportunity to get back into it, and they eventually did after that stretch, thankfully for De'Aaron. But again, those 2 points could have really changed how the end of that game goes. And we've talked about it before, man. It's the Achilles heel of this team completely. They're the worst free throw shooting team in the entire NBA. And I looked it up today. It's not even just, you know, I've been talking about how, you know, it's tough because, you know, De'Aaron and Domas are your two highest volume free throw shooters, and they're not good free throw shooters. So that's kind of bringing down the rest of the team. I looked it up earlier today. Their bench is shooting 75% from the free throw line. So it's really not just those two guys, even though De'Aaron was the one who missed it yesterday. It's everybody. We've seen Malik Monk miss a couple free throws in some important situations. Honestly, a big problem is, too, they don't really have many guys in general who get to the line. I would love to see Davion Mitchell start to try and use his speed, his craftiness to get to the line more. You know, Trey Lyles wasn't able to go last night, but Trey Lyles isn't somebody who gets to the line really at all. They need some help. I think that's really obviously the biggest takeaway from yesterday is you have Fox and Sabonis putting up 70 points combined. You have Malik Monk putting up 22 points off the bench and you can't get a win.
Yeah.
That's bad. And, you know, I don't think that has to do with other guys offensively not contributing. Of course, if you outscore the other team, that's great, but they got to get some stops at some point. They have to be able to slow down Grayson Allen. They have to be able to slow down Eric Gordon. Of course, KD and Book are going to be able to get whatever they want. That shouldn't be the problem. When Bradley Beal exits the game in the first quarter,
5 minutes he played.
That should tell you if we can stop Grayson Allen from doing what he's done to this team, it feels like every single time they play, we have a really good shot at winning. If you don't allow Grayson Allen to score, I feel like he scored over 20, and Eric Gordon felt like he had 17 or 18. Like, if you can prevent those guys from having a night, I mean, you win the game. It's really that simple, and it felt like
one of them. Stop
giving
up
way too many threes last night.
Stop one of them.
Just disgusting.
Grayson Allen was 2 for 5 from three. He had 19 points, yeah. Okay? Eric Gordon had 23 points.
Wow.
4 for 9 from three.
Yeah.
And they were both, Grayson was 3 for 3 from free throw, and Eric Gordon was 3 for 3 from free throw, right? Those are the guys that kept, basically, you weren't missing Beal.
Yeah.
Because
one
of them just carried, one of them protected losing Beal, and the other one was just found money.
Yep.
Just found money.
You can't have that.
No, and you weren't able to get stops. And look, he played 30 minutes, he only had 9 points. Would have been, a couple of second round picks? Royce O'Neal sure did look like he helped a little bit.
Sure.
Sure did look like he helped a little bit. 9 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Who's getting 5 assists on this Kings team besides Malik Monk, sometimes De'Aaron and Sabonis?
Right.
You're not getting that off the bench anywhere. You're just not. So, you know, this team is capped. We know who this team is. We'll talk a little bit about it, play-in or play-off. To me, it doesn't matter. Because to me, it's going to end the same way. All right? And I'm looking at these play-in teams because they are officially in the play-in as of right now. Right? Sure. They're the eighth seed. And it's not going to get any easier for them. We talked about it yesterday. Fifth toughest remaining schedule. Where do you find what you are missing? Is it the buyout market? We have the list. We have Brandon Nunes who posted and tweeted out the list. So we'll discuss the list there. Where do you find what you're missing? And I want to talk about this, Chris. I want to talk about the Kevin Huerter, Mike Brown exchange. But before we talk about that, I want to get into, I just can't do this. It's very similar, and I'm pointing to Nate just because it's the Niners. It's very similar to the overtime thing. I don't really care about missing the free throw, Devin Booker missing the free throw, and Sabonis has got, I don't care that he has a triple-double, you got to get that rebound. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying you never should have been in that situation. Mm-hmm. And the chances of you getting that rebound, making a three, I mean, yeah, you don't have a chance if you don't get the rebound.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit here and talk about Sabonis of all people because you would have got blown out without him. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, absolutely. I think it'd be impossible to blame Sabonis. And again, I definitely agree that I think the Kings did themselves a disservice by putting themselves behind the way that they did, because they played that first half had shades of the Clipper game from last year, where I mean it felt like it was just going to be it felt like it was going to be 150 to 150 at the end of half. I think both teams had over 60 and one team was pushing 70. They were playing great, but it's really the story of what we've talked about all season. They stopped hitting shots, and then everything went to crap after. And it's like you can't have that. You cannot have your game completely dictated on making or missing jumpers, because that's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to miss shots at points in the season and in playoff games. You've got to be able to defend. I mean, to me, that's the biggest thing with this team. And you know, I think they played well enough to win yesterday. I just think you have to, offensively, you just have to play defense at some point if you want to win these kind of games. You cannot continue, and I thought they learned this lesson last year, but you can't just think you're going to outscore everybody, especially not in this year's Western Conference, where everybody is so full of talent, they can put up 130. Any team in the West pretty much can put up 130 points. So until they find out how to play along on the same string for 48 minutes defensively, I think that they're going to continue to flounder like they have in 2024. They're 500 since the turn of the new year, and it's felt like it. And again, their offense has been great. It feels like Kevin Herter's hitting shots. HB's had some moments, but and Malik is playing really, really well right now. But again, it just doesn't feel like they're not getting the results, and it's disappointing because they're starting to play better.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, what went wrong in Phoenix and the back and forth between Kevin Herter and Mike Brown? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. To 125. The Kings are bested by the Phoenix Suns. You know, I was really confused about my feelings on Malik yesterday, Chris, because Malik has been playing really well, but there are times at the end of the game where he makes some bonehead decisions.
Sure.
And you can't turn you cannot have your main ball handlers turn the ball over in total 11 times. And it happened towards the end of the game. De'Aaron Fox had 6 turnovers. Malik Monk had 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't know at this point, as much as we talk about, oh my goodness, get Malik Monk into the starting lineup, I don't know that Malik Monk is a starting player on a championship team.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely interesting. I think, you know, I feel like he could close out there. I think the problem is the Kings, they just need another ball handler. I mean, I feel like I've been talking about it for like 2.5 years now. Davion's he played good yesterday. He didn't play great. His minutes were solid, but you know, in terms of his offensive role, he doesn't orchestrate the offense, and they don't trust him to create offense for himself or for others. And it's kind of the situation that the Kings found themselves in the playoffs last year, where you find down the stretch, it's De'Aaron and Malik are the only two players that you trust with the ball in their hands. And Sabonis can run his dribble handoff with Malik. But for the most part, it's on those two guys to create shots for themselves or others. And, you know, it's a bit flawed. Malik is somebody who you got to live with the bad to get the good. And you know, he's got some elements of JaVale McGee in him where he'll make some bonehead mistakes where, yeah, he'll underhand throw, like just bowling pass a ball straight out of bounds. And it's like, now is not the time for flair.
How many times are you going to get caught under the basket with nowhere to go and three trees are staring at you and you turn the ball over?
Yeah.
How many times is it going to happen?
Yeah. No, it's.
And
it's,
I love Malik. He's probably my favorite player on the Kings, but. I don't know if, I think you're right. I don't know if it's that he can't be a starter on a championship team or if it's that because of the lack of playmaking on the team, he feels like he has to do too much.
Yeah, you can't rely on him that much.
It's
in a weird way, it's almost not Malik's fault. It's the fault of the fact of, it's the fault of the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think, in an ideal world, De'Aaron probably has the ball in his hands most of the time and then, if you could get, I mean, just pie in the sky, if you can get a guy like Paul George out there, he would ideally be the second guy that has the ball in his hands, and Malik can be the third option or a guy who stands in the corner or, you know, you give him a grenade with 5 seconds left and say, hey, we really need a bucket, but we also are just going to need somebody who can hit tough shots. Mm-hmm. That's better for Malik instead of really asking him to be a point guard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he can, we've seen it all year, he can serve as the point guard, but to your point, like, I don't know if you want, I mean, he played 33 minutes last night. I think that's probably asking a bit too much for Malik. He's been a guy who's, I mean, there's a reason why that bench role serves him off really well. Mm-hmm. It's because he's good in spurts, but you get too much of him, and sometimes you start to see some of the blemishes of you know, why he's not able to be a starter or a high-level, you know, guy who's going to be making $25, $30 million.
It's a really, really confusing situation because could you start Malik on this team and say that the Kings would probably be a little bit better? You could argue yes, you could argue no because we know that the bench would lose some things. But ultimately, here we go with the same conversation about getting to that second round. You start Malik. Do you win a playoff series now that you started Malik? I guess to me, whether you start him or not, I'm just looking forward maybe too much because whether you start him or not, it doesn't really change the end for me.
No, yeah.
I think it all ends the same way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit more exciting. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But I think Malik best serves this team and probably any team he goes to besides a team that isn't going to be in the playoff mix at all as a sixth man. Because think about it like this. We're thinking 33 minutes and it's maybe too much of Malik. And the Kings are in the eighth seed. Right. So think about if he was on the Celtics or the Sixers or anybody like that, they wouldn't have him start.
Probably not. No.
You know?
Yeah.
So he could still get the bag. And it's not Malik's fault. It's not Malik's fault that they lost last night. Right. I just know that we take so many calls, get Malik in there. And I understand, I understand why maybe Coach Mike Brown didn't want him to start prior to the deadline. You might need a revisit only because there's nobody else showing up.
Yeah.
There's nobody else showing up. I mean, HB, that stretch is over. He's back to only taking under 10 shots. I don't know what that was, right? And I can't wait for a home game so we can get in there and ask some questions to try to figure out what is going on. Let's hear from Coach Mike Brown. We have people in the SAC chat. Shout out to the SAC chat. Shout out to the text line, the call line, Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. We have people talking about the refs, and we don't normally complain about the refs here on this show.
Yeah.
But when your coach has something to say about the refs, we listen.
We're down three with 24 seconds left, and Domas rolls to the rim, and he shot fakes, and Devin Booker lands on his back with two hands. And the officials tell me that it's marginal contact, that it doesn't affect the shot. But it's a foul. And the foul that they called on Keegan, Booker was still going to get open. It was marginal. People hold at the end of games, and they call that foul because they say it's a foul, and they got to make the right call. But the foul by Devin Booker, I'm just emotional right now from the no call, and I saw it live. I watched again on playback, And a foul is a foul, and you got to call it, just like you called the foul on Keegan. If you're going to call that foul, you got to call any other foul, because Booker was about to be wide open because Keegan wasn't even running with him. I'm just, like I said, I don't know, man. You fight so hard, and then you feel like it's just not fair down the stretch, and that no call. I'm going to be interested to see the 2-minute report, because if they say that that's not a foul on Booker, I'm really lost.
I'm with him on the Booker thing, because that was a foul. But the Keegan, if I'm not mistaken, he's talking about the play where they ended up
the inbound.
Yeah. The inbound. His jersey got pulled, and maybe Mike couldn't see it. If the jersey got pulled, whether it was marginal or not, if the ref sees a jersey pull, they're going to call that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's kind of the fact that I think he's honestly more upset about the other one not being called in combination with that being called. Because I don't know how you could say this is marginal contact, but that is excessive contact. And so, like, my question is, why didn't Mike Brown challenge? Why didn't he challenge the call? I'm looking at it now.
Sabonis?
He had a timeout available. He called a timeout with 3 seconds left. Right after Grayson Allen hit his second free throw, he had a timeout. Mike Brown has been so eager to challenge calls all year long and lose them early in the game. This is exactly why you have them and bank them for that kind of situation. I thought it was a blatant foul on Booker.
I did too.
I was furious. Yeah. I usually don't get mad at calls. Usually refs, it ends up balancing out or just something that you got to play through, but something as blatant as that, like Sabonis even set him. The problem is he set him up perfectly for it too. Like he pump faked, got Booker in the air. Booker is coming down onto his back. Sabonis goes up with it, hits the shot. That was called an and one all game long. And it's just, again, the inconsistency from the referees of how are you going to call this in the third quarter, in the second quarter, where we can literally show you clips of Sabonis getting and ones on this same exact kind of contact. But then in the most important moment, you're going to swallow your whistle for us and then give that. I mean, whether it was a pull or not, sure. It's also the last play of the game. You've got to allow a little bit more nuance in that kind of situation. Unless Keegan is physically, I haven't seen the replay, so maybe he is. Maybe it is egregious and I just haven't seen it.
I wouldn't call it egregious, but you can see the jersey, which I think rests. Sure. That, I'm trying to think of a comparison, but if you see, it's like the pass interference. If you don't turn your head, right? If you, the ref didn't see him turn his head, the ref saw the jersey pull, so automatic. I'm not saying it wasn't right because it was less contact than the Booker play. So it's a mess.
The refs got to understand, though, that's game. Like, that's pretty much game at that point. So it's got to be really bad.
Yeah. All right, got to get to a break when we get back. Vince, we see you. We will get to you right after we get back and pay some bills. Siles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Seeing a developing story about Kyle Shanahan not confirming that Steve Wilks will be back as the team's DC, mentions that it will be discussed at a later time. One thing that we had not talked about, Chris, was, I don't know if you saw this, some of the timeouts being called throughout the game at least twice, where essentially people were saying that Kyle Shanahan didn't like the defensive look that Steve Wilks came out with.
Oh, yeah, I heard
that
once.
That's why they called timeouts, so they could, Kyle Shanahan could basically run what he wanted to run. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That does not sound good.
Yeah, their sources saying that he was on a short leash going into the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I mean, the defense I thought played pretty well. I don't know how much of that now was Steve Wilks or how much of that was Kyle Shanahan. He's probably gone.
Yeah.
Right? What's up, Nate?
That one play specifically you're talking, I only remember it once. But what broadcast was saying, Romo, Mr. Predict Everything, was he saw a zero blitz coming, which means you match up everybody and you send whoever you can that isn't matched up with the receiver tight end on that play. So Shanahan did not like that in the situation. called a timeout because, Chris, you'll remember, the Niners called a zero blitz against Kirk Cousins at the end of the half that resulted in a touchdown that debatably lost the game. I mean, it's hard to say so early in the game,
but
he didn't like that. So it would suck to go through another defensive coordinator.
Right.
Not for the same reason you've lost the other two.
And very slow start for the Niners defense this year.
And they remind me, so they make that change and then the Niners, because what I believe I read.
Make what change?
They changed the play and then they got the stop.
I believe so, yeah.
But then the Chiefs got the first down, I think, the next play.
Yeah, it's the zero blitz thing that's scary. I think that is such a, like, you look at the Giants this year, they were blitzing on like 55% of their plays or something and just giving up massive plays.
Yeah.
Mahomes is obviously smart enough to pick up on that and see, and the pressure doesn't always work. So it's extremely situational. Right.
Everybody says you better get to them.
You bet, and if they weren't.
They weren't.
They weren't. They hit him a few times.
So seems like pretty soon here we'll be reporting on a new DC. Who that person is? People are talking about Bill Belichick. I highly doubt it, but anything is possible. Anything
that's crazy
is possible.
I mean, I know. Like, even from the start, it sounded like Wilkes was never really given power. Like, he essentially came in and they said...
The whole booth thing.
The booth thing was weird, but even from the start, it was, Steve Wilkes, you're not going to implement your defense. You're going to learn what we do, and you're going to understand that. And I don't know. And then you throw on... It is very Kyle Shanahan to say, I know offense so well, I'm going to start coaching defense.
Right. Well, and, you know...
All of his defenses have been raw, though.
No, they've been great. They've been great, and I'm not like I'm kind of trolling there. Like it does make sense. I mean, every great offensive mind does it or has a real understanding of defense. That's what makes them so great.
To clarify, though, only on the good teams. The bad teams, the defense was horrendous.
Right. Well, the thing is, and what I've been seeing from a lot of Niners people, fans, media, content creators, is that these last couple years, the Niners have had excuses. Right. Excuses can be true. We'll talk about luck, everything. 2 years ago, Jaquaski Tartt, he drops that pick.
I hate that
one. What would have happened, right? Last season, you have Brock.
8 minutes in that game.
Okay, last season, you have Brock, and he tears his UCL. He can't go anymore. This was really the first, and then prior to that, I think, is when the Niners just lost. The Jimmy overthrow, whatever it is. This is the first time, I think, for a lot of Niners fans and everybody, unless you're going with this luck metric, this is the first time you just got beat.
Right.
There's no, well, but we didn't have Brock.
People are going to say no Greenlaw.
No Greenlaw, right? But
there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something.
No matter what.
You just got
Super Bowl
beat.
Ever.
Yeah. This is the hardest. Everybody can look for an excuse. Yeah. This is the hardest one to look for, right? Yes. Last season was legit. Jaquaski Tartt, I don't know how legit. You just got beat.
Yeah.
So now, because of that, people don't know how to react. So it's got to be Steve Wilkes. It's got to be somebody's fault.
Somebody's got to take the blame.
It's got to be this luck metric. It's got to be something because we should have won. So Steve Wilkes seems to be the fall guy, whether that's fair or not.
Right.
It doesn't really matter because we don't make the rules, and it feels like we will be reporting on the Niners moving on fairly soon. Now let's move on and move back to the Kings. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's go to Vince, who wants to be a part of the conversation. Vince, what's up? You're on Styles and Watkins.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Not too much, man.
Waiting on the Kings, man, if I could. They definitely got screwed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. But I kind of have a unique take on this Malik Monk situation.
Okay.
I mean, watching the game yesterday, he definitely brings the energy. And I think, I mean, I don't know why he hasn't broke his way into the starting lineup. I think his energy will feed off on Keegan as well, maybe get him going. I don't think, you know, Keegan basically mimicking Harrison Barnes and his mannerism maybe keeps him a little bit duller than where he needs to be at.
Mm.
And, you know, for the history of basketball, man, it's about starting. You know, to not start a guy because it fits into your team a little bit better, it's kind of like, you know, passing the buck on coaching. You know, you got to figure out, reward the players that are playing hot and make the adjustments. What do you guys think about that?
No, thanks for the call, Vince. Yeah, I mean, I think that we've heard a lot of hey, get Malik in the starting lineup. And I think that's what I'm stuck on, right? I've talked before about, you know, I'm open on this show. I wanted to be a center fielder. Everybody wants to be a center fielder. A freshman came up. He was a sophomore, a freshman or a sophomore my senior year. Coach said, hey, Alan, let's see how things look in left field. Never saw center field again. Never saw center field again. And even prior to that, right, when I was in school, they said, hey, Alan, you could play center, but you're probably going to be a left fielder at the next level. I did get a cup of coffee in center, but the coach was right. I got moved to left. So Malik Monk, to me, you can move him in the starting lineup because of a need that you think he fills.
Right.
But ultimately, the final version of this team. Now, I get what Vince is saying as far as just ride the hot hand.
Right.
I guess maybe I'm looking too far in the future because I think that the final version of this team, Malik Monk is not in the starting lineup. But the final version of this team is not right now.
Yeah, I also just, I mean, I just really don't care about starters. Like, I just think that starting is overrated. I hear what he's saying there with, you know, it traditionally has been used as a reward system. Absolutely. Like, I mean, it's try and tell any NBA player that starting doesn't matter. And I mean, they'll tell you it matters at least a little bit, especially contracts and just how you're perceived as a player. But, you know, ultimately what matters is Malik Monk ends the game for the Kings. When the game is on the line, Malik Monk is on the floor 9 out of 10 times. And I think that's what's more important with Malik is the fact that he's going to play well enough leading into those moments to justify playing him at the end. I don't really think the Keegan thing, Keegan is just a low maintenance, very chill guy. I don't think that has to do with HB at all. I think Keegan would be that way no matter where he was at. So, I think I hear you. I hear the Malik Monk starting thing. I think, I think you put it perfectly. It might make sense because of the situation that they're in right now, but ultimately down the road when this team is truly trying to win championships, Malik Monk's going to be coming off the bench.
So that's what...
Or playing a six-man role, I should say.
That's what I'm not sure how this would act, right? I don't know how often it happens with teams. I know the Warriors have kind of flip-flopped their starters. Somebody like Malik Monk, how do you... Maybe it matters or not. Let's say we know that the Kings want to keep Malik, right? But the Kings are going to have to make a lot of, assuming, by the way, I hope I'm wrong, but let's assume it's another early exit for the Kings. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong. Another early exit for the Kings. The Kings are thinking, okay, we got to make some moves. We know we want to keep Malik. That's the whole reason he was part of that. We believe he was part of that seven that Sam Amick reported they didn't want to touch, right? So you go into the offseason and Malik started the last 30 games, and let's say he balled out.
This year.
Uh-huh.
You're saying the rest of this year started.
He starts tonight.
Okay.
The rest of the season, he balls out, but they lose in the first round. They're getting ready to, or let's say they lose in the second round. Because I still think they'd have to make some
same
updates,
same.
Right?
All the same.
They are looking, Monty says, okay, now we need a re-up. We're looking at a Jimmy, whoever they get. Now you say, hey, Malik, we know you balled out the last 30 games of the season, but we weren't really that good, so you need to go back to the bench. I'm just saying I don't know how if that normally happens. I don't know if that happens and how Malik – and now you have other teams saying you could start for us right now.
Right.
They might be lower tier teams, but Malik might think, well, we lost in the first round here.
Right.
I could go to the Hawks. I could go to whoever. Right. And we could be in the play. We were messing with the play-in all season.
Right.
And I could start for this team. So I just don't know how that typically goes to give to that point, kind of the high school model. And we know Mike Brown, it's been a weird high school model. Chris Duarte only starts.
Yes.
That's the only time he plays.
Only time.
Is when he starts. Last night we saw a lineup of Davion and Keon.
Yeah.
It's out
Kessler's
of control.
Out there too.
Kessler's out there too. It's very confusing, but I don't know if you want to hand something to Malik.
Yeah.
He balls out.
Can't take it away.
And then take it away because, we're trying to get better. Right. It's just a weird conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't know how often it happens. All right. Let's get to a break. When we get back, I'm going to take a little respite from the Kings talk.
Yeah.
To talk about Valentine's Day. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated. And Nate has told us that he is not going to agree with most men's takes. Styles and Watkins.
Our takes.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
530 on our beloved text line. Examine the rotation. Monk comes in for Fox, scores points because no Fox. Exactly. If Fox and Monk start, then you are looking at Herter to fill Monk's shoes.
This is what I was going to say. I was literally going to say this. It's what people don't understand or not talking enough about is the reason, the main reason Malik comes off the bench is for that exactly. The rotation goes, you know, to start the game. If you look at the end of every first quarter, you notice something about Domantas Sabonis. He always has like 6 points, five rebounds, and six assists. Mm-hmm. It's because to start the game, they just run everything through him. They try and get Keegan going. They try and get HB going. They try and get Herter going. They don't even really think about De'Aaron Fox in the first quarter until he checks back in with like 2 minutes to go. It's about Domas setting up everybody else so that, you know, it'd be great if HB gets started early and then you can go back to him in the second or in the second half even. It's about getting those guys going early. Then Malik checks in. And Malik provides that spark. He continues the offensive explosion because, again, like the texter put so perfectly there, imagine De'Aaron and Malik playing at the same time, and then both there's going to be a period where both are out of the game.
Yeah.
You can't have that.
Yeah.
Your offense is going to stagnate, and the Kings, unfortunately, don't have, like, another type of lineup to go to. It'd be one thing if, okay, De'Aaron and Malik check out, we're now going to go to a hyper-defensive lineup because we know we don't have the offensive weapons, mm-hmm. but if we can stifle the other team's offense during those minutes, well, then it's kind of a net neutral.
There's a team clamps. You can come up with a team clamps. Come on now.
Let's do it. Let's try and clamps. Yeah, it's got to be Davion, right? Davion,
Keon. Kessler.
Keegan's got to be out there. Kessler, Keegan,
and Alex Len. That's team clamps. You're not making a thing.
You're not making a thing. I don't know who's even running point. Davion's running point,
and everyone is playing hot potato until the shot clock goes down, and then Keegan's is chucking up a three.
See, but the problem is, honestly, if we could turn that into a real thing, that's where the Kings desperately need Keegan Murray to develop.
Oh, I got smoke
because that has to be a possibility for this team to run a lineup where. We've been incredibly blessed with De'Aaron not missing a ton of games in a row, with Sabonis not missing a ton of games in a row, because if you take those guys' rotation minutes out, then you have to have a guy like Keegan Murray be consistently stepping up, and you know, he's kind of been able to skate a bit because HB has had, you know, that good stint.
He's not skating today.
No, he's no longer skating.
What time are we doing it? Because he's not skating today.
Next segment.
He's not skating today. All right. I'll tell you that.
11:15.
I'll tell you that much right now. Let's get to the phone lines. 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, let's get out to Will, who wants to talk about the Kings. What's up, Will? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Man, you guys, especially Watkins, man, you guys too analytical, man. Basketball is an emotional game. It's a situational game. Murray don't have a floor game. You know, he can shoot, but he doesn't have a floor game like a Paul George or a Leonard or somebody like that. Man, he's got to learn that. Mm-hmm. And then when you're talking about Monk
Fox?
De'Aaron. Yeah, Fox. Those guys can start together. I mean, you don't have to take them out at the same time. See, here's the problem. Like last night, they started the game flat. My man Brown had to call two timeouts because Herter, it's just like, you know, I like Herter, but Herter can't guard any athletic forwards. He can't do it. He just can't do it. And you saw where him and Brown got into it because he just fell back and let the guy shoot a three over him. And his feet ain't quick enough. Let's just be honest. He's not quick enough on the feet. And then you guys talk about Malik's turnovers. You know, He's a guard, man. Guards going to make turnovers. They trying to create. They trying to do things. And when I've called in a couple of times when Domas has had 5-6 turnovers, and you guys push back real hard on me. You push real back real hard. If I'm the coach, Malik would start. I have to make other adjustments.
Will, they had 11 turnovers between De'Aaron and Monk. That can't happen.
I know that. I know that, but what I'm saying, they lost last night because that fool that hit Darren across the head, he hit that Grayson Allen hit that crazy three with no time on the clock, mm-hmm. and then you had the other guy. They just Royce O'Neal hit 2 threes. They lost. That's why they lost. That's why they lost last night. The Kings can't be blowing games to Detroit. The Hornets, see, the West is too doggone competitive. Mm-hmm. You have good teams, 6, 7, 8, 9. You can't be losing games. I don't have a problem with that game last night.
No.
I don't have a problem with them losing.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't blow games to weak teams. That's the problem.
Well, you're right, but that's – thank you for the call, Will. But that's the problem. Now we have to examine these games differently because we can't go in the past, right? I hear what you're saying, but – In literally, that game last night wasn't bad, right? Chris has felt good about it.
I don't want to be too analytical.
No, well, Chris has felt good about it. We don't feel bad about the game. The problem is we cannot examine it that way now due to the fact that they tricked off those games. So now they're under a microscope. The mm-hmm. Mulligans are gone.
Yep.
That's the problem. I don't disagree with the fact that they didn't play poorly last night. It's not horseshoes, though, and they need wins.
Yes.
They need wins, and they have the fifth hardest schedule mm-hmm. left in the league.
Yeah.
So it's not going to get – they got Denver tonight. Okay.
Yep.
They got Denver tonight. They gave it another good college try and a good effort. We can't be mad at that one either. They put themselves – you make your bed, you got to lay in it.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
That's it.
Tonight's going to be tough, too.
Tonight
is almost the definition of a schedule loss. Like, you lose an hour, first off. The game tonight is at 6 p.m. our time.
Elevation.
So you're losing an hour. You're going to elevation, which is already, they say it takes days to get acclimated to that kind of elevation. You're doing it, and I'm pretty sure the Kings arrived this morning, I would assume, at like 2 or 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. So they're getting barely any hours to acclimate. And you're playing, oh yeah, the defending champs too, that you just played the other day, blew out, mm-hmm. and probably have some revenge before they head to the All-Star break.
That's what I was going to say too.
They lost two straight.
They want a good taste in their mouth,
yep.
and they can let it all out on the court because they get a break after
yep.
this. So they're not in the midst of a back-to-back. The last time they played was Monday.
Mm.
So they're coming back home. They Jeez. Lost to the Bucks. Handily,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
in Milwaukee. Now they get to come home before the All-Star break and basically just say, let's go out
yep.
and get back on track. And we already got something for the Kings. So that's just what it is. And the Kings are going to have to figure it out. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will hear from Freddie, who I believe wants to talk a little bit of Niners. So we will get to Freddie and Steve Wilks and the future of Steve Wilks getting back to the Kings after that as well. And don't worry, we will get Nate's take on Valentine's Day. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.